listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 29 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland, alongside our baseball guru, Kevin Bohannon. And if you guys like what we have been doing, make sure you're subscribed to the show on Spotify, or, of course, you can listen every week on scorebooklive.com. That way you are alerted whenever we release a new episode, which we do every single week. And the postseason begins for some teams this week. For the smaller schools, the larger schools have a couple more weeks left in the regular season. We're hoping that this spring weather stays around, that we don't get a whole lot more rain that we'll need it here, at least for the coming summer months. But we want to get through these next couple of weeks of baseball and softball so we can finish the season without any more postponements, cancellations, all that good stuff. But Kevin, it was a good week of baseball, which of course we always start with every single week. Getting down to the wire here, of course, as I mentioned, some teams will be starting their district championships, but as we get into especially 5 and 6A here, still plenty of top matchups of this week.
No doubt. You got, you know, Rogers and Harbor are going to do battle this week, and they're 6A West. That's going to determine they're going to be the 1 and 2 seed, but it's just going to determine who's going to be the 1 seed. Right, if Rogers can manage a split after Fort Smith Southside beat Harbor, they're going to have the inside straight for the conference title. And, you know, Benton, Little Rock Christian still have to play. Sylvan Hills, they've been playing really well of late. They're 17-8 on the year. So we got a lot of good matchups. And the rankings that'll come out tomorrow, there are very few questions around the state about who the top teams are. And Kyle, that doesn't mean that a team that's kind of in that second tier, lying in the weeds, can jump up and beat one of the top-ranked teams. There's always upsets this time of the year. It's just a matter of who's playing their best baseball at the right time.
And we always start with 1A, and it's a perfect to start there, considering what you just said, talking about playing your best baseball at the right time. And the three teams there between Norfolk, Greers Ferry, Westside, and also Izzard County, we've started off there, I think, for probably the last month between those three teams. And Norfolk, they did lose their first game in 14. We knew that it was going to come at some point. And, you know, I think if you're probably them, you'd rather it come now than when you get into the postseason and you pretty much have to win every single game. You want to go ahead and get that out of the way. I can relate to that as a player. I can imagine you probably can too. But Greers Ferry Westside, they actually had a pretty demanding win over Norfolk to end that 14-game winning streak. So I'll ask you right off the bat, Kevin, you know, this week it seems like the opinion varies every single week because one of those teams tends to beat each other, but where are you at right now in that conference?
Yeah, Westside Greers Ferry has shown that they're the dominant team in Class 1A right now, and they've shown it over the past couple of weeks. Talked to Coach Shane Davis, and pitching has been leading their team so far this year. The hitting is coming around, and I think they had a breakout party on Friday, putting up 15 runs against Norfolk. Yeah, Norfolk's been playing really good on defense. They just ran into a buzzsaw. Like I said, 15-0, Westside Greers Ferry. Coach Shane Davis is taking his kids to the state semifinals. The last two seasons that we've had a state tournament in 19 and 2021, he's got four guys that he can run out there anytime. Travis Gentry has been a household name for 4 years now. He hit over 540 as a freshman, and I think he's around that mark as a senior, Kyle.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, really good basketball player, really good baseball player, all-around athlete is Travis, no doubt. And some of the other headlines from Class 1A, Armorell has 7 straight wins. That gives them at least a share of the 1A3 conference title, defeating Mark Tree 14-12 this week or last week. And then also Ouachita, they've already won the 1A7 and are right now playing non-con games. We talked about them a good bit this season. They've got Abundant Life on the schedule this week. But let's talk about that 1A3 conference right now. I think that most of the time throughout this season, Kevin, we've really been talked about how it's Mark Tree's to lose, but now that's not the case. Armorell has stepped in there.
Yeah, you got Armorell, and we had a makeup game on Saturday that we weren't aware of, and Hillcrest has got into the conversation. The Eagles are 8-2. Mark Tree is 8-2, and now Armorell is 8-2. You got a 3-way tie atop that conference, and, you know, can these teams compete with the West Sides, the Izzard Counties of the state? Well, we just don't know yet because we haven't seen them against that type of competition. if those three teams can get through regionals, I think one of them has a shot to make some noise in the state tournament.
And then going up to 2A, Mansfield, they are streaking lately. Recently swept Jonesboro Westside. They're 8-0 in conference. I believe 16-4 overall. 16 or 17-4 overall is their record. We've also talked a lot about that the top of that 2A5, how it was extremely crowded. Well, Bigelow did defeat St. Joe 6-5, and then McCrory continuing to be on a tear. That big matchup recently with Carlisle that they dominated, now they've won 11 straight. So talk about those three main headlines from Class 2A.
Yeah, we keep having Woodlawn and McCrory every week, and I think everyone is looking forward to that matchup. But you've got teams like Mansfield, who's 18-4 on the year. Melbourne, 16-4. They keep streaking along. Buffalo Island Central's 13-2. Who's going to step up? Horatio, who we thought would be one of those top three teams, they've kind of fallen off lately. They got beat by Genoa Central 20-5. They lost to Parker Chapel 10-0. So who's going to step up and be that team that could possibly knock on the door of the top two? You got to look out to Western Arkansas and North Central Arkansas right now for Melbourne and Mansfield. They're playing the best baseball out of all those second tier teams.
And then also too, I wanted to ask you, you might've just mentioned them there, like Melbourne, Buffalo Island Central, some NEA teams that we've really been talking about. I know that right now it really just kind of seems like that it's going to go back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the season, McCrory, Woodlawn, those two schools, you know, Woodlawn, of course, being the defending champions. But, I mean, as we get into the season here, Kevin, you know, the softball side, which obviously I cover extremely heavily, I can think of a good bit of teams in each class that are just really like, you know, you look at the top there and you're always kind of like, okay, it's going to be this team probably repeating or this particular team that's going to end up going on a run. But who is maybe some sleeper teams there in the 2A? I know that we've discussed that class quite a bit at length. And so maybe who are one or two sleepers, whether it be at the bottom of your Super 7 or maybe somebody else that's not in there right now?
You know, I really like Melbourne. And I know we just talked about them, but if you look at their losses are to teams in higher classifications from them, Batesville, Pulaski Academy, Walnut Ridge, Clinton, all those are 3, 4, 5A teams. They've beat Pangburn, who is in the 3-3A under Harding Academy and Rosebud. They've also beat Pocahontas, who is going to – they're going to have a shot to make the regional tournament out of that 4-3A. So I really like Melbourne. Rector's another team that has played really well this year. They're sitting behind Buffalo Island Central. I give them a shot. Carlisle's really kind of been Jekyll and Hyde. They were a contender until they ran into McCrory, and I think McCrory kind of broke their spirit a little bit. Dalton Ward is a good pitcher. He's only a sophomore. Jonathan Pickard Jr. can really swing it. He's hitting over 350 as a freshman this year. So they've got some guys that came over from England since England didn't have baseball this year. So those are a couple teams right there that could beat anyone on a given day if they're playing their best baseball.
And moving up to 3A, Bergman, they clinched the 3A1 with a 17-6 overall record, 10-1 in conference. Harding Academy doing Harding Academy things on a 16-game win streak, just pretty much like what we expected there would be this year. Walnut Ridge, they win the 3-3A, and after splitting, this past week they split a series with Hoxie and then had the Jonesboro game, Class 5A Jonesboro game, canceled. Baptist Prep defeats Two Rivers and Bearden and won their conference title outright. And then Prescott has done really well there. They have a 13-11 win over Falcon. They have won 8 straight. And so Prescott really beginning to heat up there. I know one kid that's been really good for them, Carson Poole, that I covered, that we both covered, and football, a really good quarterback there for Prescott. And so looking at 3A there, Kevin, you know, those main headlines, and I know another one is a little bit, I don't know if you should say the falling off of Rosebud, but Rosebud has definitely taken a couple of steps back, really, after losing that Harding Academy game, lost to Southside B Branch, which I know is also another really good team, but overall did take a few steps back there, did Rosebud. And so talk about what we just mentioned there, you know, Bergman winning conference and Harding Academy continuing to be really hot, Baptist Prep winning their conference title, Prescott heating up, and then also Walnut Ridge winning the 3-3A.
Yeah, Kyle, you got to give it to Harding Academy, and congratulations to Coach Shane Fullerton. He got his 500th victory after defeating Morrilton on Friday, and you talk about the win that they got over Rosebud, 10-0. Russ Martin, the freshman pitcher for Rosebud, came out and did well the first 5 innings, only held Harding Academy to 2 runs. The problem was Gavin Elvetti was shutting the Ramblers down, And then Harding Academy, you can't go through that lineup three times and expect to hold them down. They blew up for 8 runs in the sixth inning to win 10-0. Cade Smith, the University of Arkansas commit, was out. But Gavin Elvetti, Levi Lane, Kyler Hoover, they're doing their job. Gavin's hitting 600 on the year. It's turned into a shutdown pitcher. So you got to look at Harding Academy as the favorite right there. And congrats to Bergman. The Panthers won their conference title. We talked a lot about the teams in that conference, whether it be Elkins, West Fork, Lincoln. The list goes on, but Bergman was the one that standing in there at the end with the conference title. They did lose to Elkins in the Ozark tournament over spring break, but that didn't matter. That didn't go towards the conference standing. So they're going to be the top seed going into that district tournament. And then you look else around the state. Boonville's playing really well of late, Kyle. They're 13-4, 8-1 in conference play. They beat Paris last week, who had been on top of the standings for most of the season. Ashdown's playing really well. They play with a little bit of vigor lately after beating Genoa Central last week, 13-5. Walnut Ridge, they went 14-2 in that tough conference. They play 16 conference games. So Manila and Rivercrest were right on their heels. And then, of course, Camden Harmony Grove, they just keep winning. They're 22-2-1 on the year. They won 15-0 on Friday in a non-conference slate. So the thing about 3A, Kyle, they're spread out all over the state. You got Central, North Central Arkansas with Harding Academy, Southwest Arkansas, Ashdown, Northeast, Walnut Ridge, Southeast, Camden Harmony Grove. And then Bergman's up in the northwest part of the state, Boonville in the River Valley. They're all going to come together, and we're all going to see who the best in the state is. And the interesting regional to watch out for is the Harding Academy Walnut Ridge regional. Those two match up together. Of course, last year, Harding beat Walnut Ridge in the regional final and the state championship game. So there's a possibility that somebody, and it might be Rosebud, it may be Manila or Rivercrest, that deserves a state title shot, won't make it out of regional.
I'll tell you something about Class 3A for boys and girls. It's always super deep and super loaded, whether it was the football finals, whether or like the football playoffs or the 3A state tournament. It doesn't matter, man. It's pretty much year round. It's going to be extremely competitive. Then going up to 4A, we've got Farmington, and a lot of conference titles, regular season conference titles are going to be decided this week. Farmington and Huntsville, Valley View, Brooklyn for the 3-4A. 4A, 3A, whatever way you want to put it. Yeah. Moralton's already clinched theirs at 17-1 overall, finished undefeated in conference play. Robinson is going to win the 4A 5, it's looking like. Lone Oak, obviously still playing very well. They had split a doubleheader with Sheridan. Arkadelphia continues to roll 6 straight. They're 11-0 in conference play. And then they're in the 4A 8, Star City, Monticello, and Camden Fairview all. They're deadlocked, and so it's really tight there in the 4A 8 as well.
Yeah, we'll start down there in Southeast Arkansas. And I said last week, and I mentioned it to Randy Rainwater on Around the Horn the other day, I feel bad for all the 8-4A teams because every time I rank somebody, they lose. But Star City, yeah, they're at 9-3 right now. They kind of broke it up a little bit. Camden Fairview is right behind them. So you're going to have a little bit of separation as they go into the last week of conference play. They don't have a district tournament. They just go right into regionals with the top 4 teams. But the story of Class 4A this week, this past week, was Farmington 15-14 over Huntsville to take the 1-4A conference title. You got to give a congratulations to Coach Jay Harper as he won his 300th game as the Cardinal skipper on Tuesday. And then they win a conference title on Friday. That's going to vault the Cardinals back into the conference, into our Super 7 rankings. They're going to come in at number 4 this week, and Lone Oak keeps doing their job. They're 22-5, but Robinson will win that conference. I believe they play 4 City or East End this week, and they should take care of business there. And then at the top, you got Brooklyn. They're playing really good baseball. Weston Spear had a good game the other night. He was 3-for-6 in a doubleheader, also threw shutout baseball. Griffin Duvall, Arkansas State sophomore commit at shortstop. And then you got Jake Henry, playing really good baseball of late. They're going to battle Valley View for that conference title. We're going to have a 1-versus-2 matchup in Northeast Arkansas this week.
And then going up to Class 5A, Sylvan Hills has won 7 straight. Denny Tipton's been doing it up there for a long time with the Bears. And then in the 5A East, Marion's won 7 straight as of right now. Jonesboro had a 9-game win streak, but that was broken by Brooklyn on Friday in a 10-6 victory. El Dorado still in control of the South, as we've been talking about for a long time now. And then in the 5A West, Van Buren and Greenbrier, they're still atop the West, and this has just been absolutely crazy in what I've been calling the wild, wild West on the softball side, because Van Buren is at the top of that one. Then you've also got Alma, Valonia, Greenbrier in the mix. It's just absolutely nuts in both baseball and softball. But, Kevin, I know that we were wanting to go in particular for Class 5A into the Super 7 rankings for this week, because it's just so incredibly crowded and so incredibly hard to decide in that class in particular. You've got Van Buren, then Jonesboro, El Dorado, Greenbrier, Little Rock Christian, Marion, and then last but not least, Benton. And so I'll leave the hard part to you. I did the easy part reading it off, but it's just a madhouse right now in Class 5A, no doubt.
Yeah, and Kyle, you talk about the Super 7. You got teams on the outside like Batesville, Greene County Tech, that have been ranked playing good baseball, but you got other teams that are playing better right now. The team that could have fallen out of the rankings that had been so good all season is Benton. They started out 11-0 in the year, 12-0, and they're 17-5 right now. Marion is getting good of late. They're getting healthy with Gage Watson coming back. The Missouri commit is on a pitch count, about 40 pitches a game. He's going to be a lethal 1-2 punch with Chase Armstrong, who was on our top pitchers list. Greenbrier won 5 in a row this past week. They're at 16-6 on the year. Jordan Husky, not many lefties in the state are going to beat him when he's on the bump for the Panthers. And then El Dorado, 9-1 in South and 5A South play. They're 20-3 on the year. Jonesboro had gone on that streak. They did lose to Brooklyn, but the Canes are playing really good baseball. They beat Valley View a couple weeks ago, so they split with the with the little brother conference up there, is a lot of people up there like to say, they say Jonesboro's the big brother. But yeah, Van Buren's still on top, 19-4. The Pointers are playing really good. Connor Brady, Devin Gaddis, those boys get after it. And then Sylvan Hills, yeah, they're 16-8 on the year. They're going to, and I said speed kills on the notes, and they had 192 stolen bases last year as a team, which would be one of the top guys on Sylvan Hills squad this year, Marquez Gooden. He's got 27 stolen bases, has a chance to set the school record for stolen bases in a season. He's got 27, has not been thrown out. Alex Davis, another one that's been playing really well. Kelvin Battles at shortstop is hitting over 300. Look out for the Bears come tournament time.
And then Class 6A, of course, last but not least, as I always say, Conway and Cabot, they did battle on Friday for the 7A Central title, or sorry, 6A Central title, I'm speaking football terms, for the, yeah, for the 6A Central title, and then Cabot won that one 3-2. And that means that Catholic is right now sitting comfortably at third. They have an outside shot, or they had an outside shot of winning the title, but they will get that third seed there out of the Central. And then the other big news for this coming week, Rogers and Harbor going to do battle. I believe that Rogers has a game with Branson in an out-of-league, out-of-state matchup, and then maybe Harbor has one as well. But nonetheless, they're going to end up playing in a series that's going to be one of the biggest of the season thus far, Kevin, at least of the regular season. Harbor, of course, has played top national competition this year. Rogers has looked really good. Both these softball and baseball teams have been one of the top in Class 7 and Class 6A, almost did it again. But yeah, the West right there, a huge matchup. Nonetheless, it really just goes without saying that that is going to be a top matchup of this week.
Yeah, Rogers and Harbor, Kyle, everybody's been looking forward to it all year. It's the rematch of the 6A state finals last year. Harbor split with Southside this week. The Mavericks, Lucas Jackson hit a game-tying home run in the top of the seventh inning in game one. Harbor salvaged a split behind Ross Felder's performance on the mound. Harbor's pitching and defense, that's their MO. Rogers, they've only lost to one in-state team this year, and that's Class 5A number one Van Buren. So it's going to be one heck of a matchup. I know everybody will be tuned in. And you got to give it to Cabot. The Panthers had a come-from-behind win. They scored 2 in the top of the seventh to win 3-2. Colby Webb had a home run. Aiden Velasquez, the sophomore, had a really good performance on the mound as they got by the Wampus Cats. Fort Smith Southside, they're playing really good ball of late. They're going to be ranked this week. And then Catholic sitting right there in that third spot, which is really good because they're going to do battle with the sixth team from the West. We don't know who that's going to be yet. It could be Rogers Heritage. But yeah, Bentonville West is a team that's, you know, fallen off of late. They're on the outside looking in right now. So we'll have a nice finish to the ball in the last couple of weeks.
As you can tell with the final few things Kevin was saying there, we had some connection issues, and so I went ahead and just cut it short. But all I really had left that I was going to close it out with for that particular segment was just remember to watch or to listen to Kevin on 103.7 The Buzz Radio Network on Friday evenings, where he does his baseball recaps and also some previews, just kind of like he does on this show every week. And so that's all we had left for that one. I appreciate you guys sticking with us and bearing with us through all the technical difficulties. Again, I'm not really sure what was going on there. It was quite frustrating, but we made it through it. We'll go to our next segment now with Jared Hawthorne, our softball guru, for some softball updates and recaps throughout this week. We're now joined by our softball guru, Jared Hawthorne. And Jared, I felt like at this point in the season that we learned a lot last week about a few teams, particularly in Class 2A. I will single them out off the bat that we'll get into here and here shortly. Of course, we start from the lowest and work our way up. But I thought that there was definitely one or two teams that really solidified themselves as true state title contenders and really just put a stamp on it. But really starting with 1A there, it's absolute craziness right now in the 1A2. It looks like Grierson Ferry Westside is going to win that conference. Now, based on the looks of the schedules and the way the conference standings are right now, it's them and also Concord at the top, both 9-2 in conference. Or actually, I think Westside actually is 10-2 and it hasn't been updated yet. But I know that they've split the games. Now, Concord won one of those games 9-7. Westside won it 14-2. So pretty much it's looking like that Grierson Ferry Westside is going to come out with the conference victory or the conference regular season title. But behind them, we've talked about, we went into pitching in Class 1A last week, and we've talked about some of the successes of Viola and Shirley, Izzard County. But that whole conference right there is absolutely, now we always talk about every single week, everybody's chasing Taylor. And right behind them, it's Mount Vernon and NOLA. Also in Mount Vernon and NOLA's conference, you have Wonderview, who had a 7-6 walk-off victory over the Lady Warhawks. But in the 1A2, it's like if those two teams were not up there, Mount Vernon and NOLA and Taylor, you would almost be willing to bet that the state champion was going to come out of the 1A2. So a lot of craziness there. And Concord is a team, we might have already mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but they pretty much just play 7 freshmen in their lineup. So a very young team that's going to hang around for a little while, but it's craziness, just absolute chaos in that conference right now. If you talk to coaches, they'll tell you it's just a brutal gauntlet every single week, pretty much.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I was looking at that conference on the 1A2, and with Westside, Concord, Shirley, Viola, Izzard County, I mean, in early in the year, Calico Rock was playing good softball. That's one of the deepest conferences, single conferences we have anywhere in the state.
Agreed.
I was looking at it, and now I truly believe that that's going to come down to Grierson Ferry Westside or Concord are going to be one of those two teams are going to, I think, going to be the team that makes a push, you know, in further into state. I think they have a little bit of a step up on Shirley and Viola and Izzard County. They're all good teams, but I think those two have kind of taken just a little bit of a step above within the conference. I do think Grierson Ferry Westside is the best team out of the conference, but man, there's a lot of good softball in that conference.
Yeah, and then also too, I was just talking about the 1A4, Mount Vernon and NOLA, you can never count them out. And then Wonderview is really getting hot at the right time. They've been, I guess you could say, a little bit streaky. Wonderview has, I don't know if maybe that's the right word, but they hit a little bit of a slump. But when you have a player like Lydia Polk in the circle, and also Abby Baker, a really good shortstop, who she'll be seeing her name on one of the lists that we'll feature sometime this week. But Wonderview is really picking it up at the right time. Talked to Coach Gooden a couple of times, and he feels really good about where his team at. And you also can't forget about the Ouachita Warriors there in the 1A7. Jared, I don't know if you happen to see this. You've talked about Powen a couple of times, but they had a 1-0 loss to Powen on, I believe it was Friday. And that was Cody Batchelor, a pitcher that we're very high on, against freshman Matty Fulmer, another pitcher that we're extremely high on. And they went into a pitcher's duel, as you could see by the score there. I believe Matty actually had like 12 strikeouts in that game. So she did her job. They just really weren't able to get the bats going. And neither was Powen, really, for the most part, either. They were just able to get somebody on base and then get that run batted in. But You know, that's another team right there, Wichita, that people don't talk about enough. I don't think. I know that we have, but their conference is not near to the level that in the 1A7 that they play, not near to the level that the 1A2 is. But I feel like that they've definitely made their case. Wichita has, with what they've done on their body of work.
Well, without a doubt, you know, going back to what you said about Lydia Polk at Wonderview, a huge part of their success was strictly what she's, I mean, not that they're a good team. They are a good team overall, but what she's done in the circle the last 4 to 5 games has really stepped their game up. And then that's what's going to be the thing that really pushes Wichita forward. Wichita has Maddie Fulmer, which is a sensational freshman pitcher, but they also have an excellent pitcher right behind her in Raylan Slate, which she is helping them out a lot playing in other places because they have Maddie. And they can throw Maddie and they can use Raylan in a lot of the places. But when they get in state tournament and they might need that extra pitching, Wichita has an absolute beast second line pitcher too. I really, for me, Wichita, Mount Vernon, Enola, and Greers Ferry Westside are really the teams that I feel like have a real shot at giving Taylor any competition for the state title.
That's what I was going to ask you next. If you were asked today, so let's say the beginning of the week when this podcast drops on a Monday, out of all these teams that we just talked about, who would you pick? And it's so hard because Taylor is just the machine that they are. But it is a funny game. As I've mentioned before, it is a one-game series once you get into particularly the state tournament. And so anybody can get anybody on any given day. And I think right now, you look at pitching, just pitching alone, I think that I would probably, in that regard, the thing is, it's so hard because we went through last week and you talked about McKenna Biddle at Westside. We just mentioned Maddie Fulmer at Wichita and what they have there, Lydia Polk. I think I'm probably, as of this week, I probably either go with Wonderview or Wichita just for this particular week. And that's, you know, obviously no disrespect to Westside, but I think I probably go Wichita or Wonderview if I'm doing that like in the next few days.
Wichita has a lot of bats to go with the pitching they have. And I'll tell you the other thing, Wichita's conference is a little on the weak side, but if you look at their schedule, they've stepped out and played some pretty good ball teams on their non-conference schedule. And Wichita's beat some really solid ball teams. So, I mean, they didn't do it in conference so much because their conference is not the strongest. But they've stepped out on their non-conference schedule, and they've beat 2 or 3 really salty ball teams. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't bet against Wichita with anybody. I would still say Taylor is hands down my favorite to win state title. But Wichita, and then, of course, when Lydia Polk's on fire, Wonderview could be right there with the bats that Mount Vernon has. They're right there. I mean – There's 3 or 4 right there that's chasing right behind Taylor.
Yeah, Wichita, you look at their wins. Murfreesboro, a really good 2A school. Bismarck, a good 3A school. Horatio, pretty good 3A school as well. Fordyce, a good 2A school that, as we've pointed out so many different times, may not have the greatest record because you look at their schedule that they've played, some of the top competition. So certainly, yes, Taylor's the favorite. We'll say that every single week, but there's definitely some teams out there that are going to be hearing that and have heard that kind of stuff, and they're going to be gunning for them. So going up to 2A, now this is the one that I want to spend a little bit of time on, Jared. You and I have talked about this a couple of times this week. I've talked about it with a few other media in Arkansas, and for the longest time, we've talked about Tuckerman. Every single week, we point out it's almost like a broken record. For the longest time, we've talked about these four teams: McCrory, East Poinsett County, Woodlawn, and Tuckerman. And I know that we've caught some grief for having Tuckerman fourth as long as we have. They will be much higher than that. I can definitely tell you that this week. And we've also said that, yes, they have the toughest schedule, the toughest strength of schedule, and also that it's more than likely going to be them. You know, if they're not the state champion for the second time in a row by the time this is all said and done, they're probably going to be pretty close to it. And I think that they've just about reached that point of the team that we thought that they were. They did make some changes within some of their positions. You know, I think it was Gracie Smith that's won. She was the one that went from short to catcher, or I think it was the move that she made. But nonetheless, they've made a lot of moves within the infield and just their team in general. Of course, McKaylee Gist wasn't in the circle for a while. She just pitched a no-hitter against Melbourne in a 5-0 victory. So I'll tell you, Jared, and I've said this many times, if she's on the mound, I take her against many of the teams in the state, not just 2A. And so with her being back, with Kenzie Soden, with the way that she's pitched this season already, two perfect games, those two right there pretty much give you a good chance to win in Class 2A or really even beyond that. And so, yes, I really like Tuckerman right now. I still like McCrory. I like him at that number one spot, and I like what they've done this season overall. And then you also look at East Poinsett County. They've been putting up a lot of runs on people. They split a series with Rector, which Rector, we've been continuing to say that they were one of those teams trending up, and they finally got their statement win. And so those two right there, along with Tuckerman and McCrory, and then that leaves Woodlawn. And so I think of them, and if you look at it from a media standpoint, the dream 2A state championship game is probably McKaylee Gist and Lily Faye McWhorter from Woodlawn. Those two up against each other. It's very likely not many people are going to get a whole lot of hits, because not only two of the best pitchers in the freshman, McKaylee's a sophomore, but not only two of the best underclassmen pitchers, but two of the best pitchers in the state overall. And so I think that from a media standpoint, you'd really love to see that. But the what really concerns me about Woodlawn, and I don't know if you would really say it's even a concern, because they are the final remaining team that's undefeated left in Class 2A. They've done their jobs, even though they did have a sloppy win over Parker's Chapel the other night. You can't really fault them. They won the game. They're undefeated still. But the fact that they're the only team on this, the ones that I just mentioned, that don't really have that statement win. You look at McCrory, they've beaten Marion, of course, East Poinsett County. I know that they've got, I think they played Valley View to a 3-2 loss within one run, and obviously Valley View's taken off. They've also, they got the win over Rector, which Rector's, of course, beaten them. I mean, at least all of these schools have one win in there that I'm kind of like, okay, well, they've played the competition that they have played, and that at least tells me that that's going to get them prepared for the state tournament. Now, that's not to say that Woodlawn's not going to be ready for the state tournament, but I wonder what's going to happen. We saw them in adversity when they were tied up. I believe it was 8-8 against Parker's Chapel, but I don't know that Woodlawn's been down this year. And so how are they going to respond when a team that is really, really good like themselves and they're down? And once we get into district, once we get into the regionals, state tournament, and all that stuff. And so I say all this to say I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion poo-pooing on them. They're obviously a really good team with what they've done. It's just I don't know how they're going to hold up once they start playing much better teams than what they have been.
I'm so torn on these top five or so in 2A. I mean, I've gone back and forth in my head every scenario, who could play who, who's going to be who. I'm going to tell you, throw them all up in the air and see who comes out on top when they land.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, Tuckerman has, in my opinion, if just as healthy and able to throw, she threw a no-hitter this weekend against a strong Melbourne team. But if she is healthy and able to throw the big games that matter, I think Tuckerman probably wins state again.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to bet against McCrory. They have a great team top to bottom. East Poinsett County has a great team top to bottom. Rector has a great team top to bottom. But I'm going to tell you, there's a real strong chance that you get that matchup that you were talking about with McKaylee Gist for Tuckerman and Lily Faye McWhorter for Woodlawn pitching against each other, because what's going to happen is those two have a solid chance of beating everybody along the way to face each other. That they're just unreal next-level pitchers. And there's good pitchers at all these schools. I mean, even all the way down, you look at Magna Cove, that's down around our 5, 6, 7 spots. Magna Cove is loaded at pitcher. You know, they've got 2, 3 deep. They're great pitchers. But there's just a different level between Lily Faye and McKaylee Gist above these other pitchers.
Yeah.
Those two, when they're healthy and able to go, are just – I don't know what the right words are to describe them. But, you know, Lily Faye McWhorter hit 66 officially in a game this week. That's Division I Power 5 college pitchers right now in the SEC hitting 66, 68 miles an hour. And you have a freshman at Woodlawn doing that. And you have McKaylee. It's mind blowing.
Yeah.
McKaylee just is not, but about maybe a mile or two out an hour off of that herself. And especially when she's healthy, she might be right there when she's completely healthy. Both of those young ladies are just fierce competitors. Sometimes they're just going to take their teams, put them on their backs and say, we're going to go win state. It's just going to happen. Those two, I suspect that those two are going to do whatever it takes to get there. I may be wrong. I may be completely wrong. Now, whoever comes out in the top there, it may be what the supporting cast does around them, but those two pitchers are just another level. And if they both stay healthy and they both throw like they're capable of doing, I just have this sneaking suspicion that those two have a real shot at looking at each other across, you know, one dugout to the other for a state championship.
I think they most certainly can. And that's what I'll go back to at the beginning is when I said that's, you know, a media standpoint, that's a dream scenario right there. And McKaylee's obviously got a great defense behind her. Lily Faye's got a great defense behind her. Woodlawn, to me, checks all the boxes. I've said that plenty of times. They check all the boxes to me except for that strength of schedule. That's just what really concerns me because I don't know how they're going to react when if they are. Let's say that Lily Faye's not on the mound or she just has an off day or something like that. Tuckerman is battle-tested. That's one thing that really – and just the fact that, I mean, they pretty much had everybody coming back from the state championship team. Despite the moves that they made, they were able to still kind of rally around and get everything clicking. But it's just really – that's what it's going to come down to for me is really to put basically Woodlawn in that, like, upper echelon of teams saying that, like, they're going to win it all. I guess they are in that upper echelon, but – for me to really get to the point where I'm like, okay, yes, I feel confident that they'll be there or at least win it. You know, that's just kind of like, I want to see them like in district. I want to see them in regional because I know for sure on paper that they can do it. It's just really, and I say all this to say from experience, because I've been on a team like this that was very talented, didn't really play the level of, and you know what? And I'll add this in too. It's not their fault of who's in their conference or who they play and all this stuff. This is not like a bashing hour of like, you know, their conference is just so horrible or anything like that. Just comparing them to the other teams that we were talking about along with them. So, but we'll find out sooner than later because the postseason is very, very soon amongst us here. So,
And then you look at the rest of 2A, I mean, we've talked about this same six or seven people, you know, McCrory, Tuckerman, Rector, East Point, Set County, Woodlawn. We've talked quite a bit about Magnet Cove being that kind of that dark horse with the ability to sneak in there. But then you start looking at some of the other teams in 2A that you're going to see in regionals, you know, deep in districts and regionals that have a chance to get into state. I mean, Fordyce has had a crazy stout schedule, so they may have set themselves up to make a run towards state tournament. Mansfield has played really good softball this year. Haven't talked much about them, but Murfreesboro and Foreman have come on really strong here in the late part of the season. Those two teams have made a hard run towards the last part of this season, and they have really good pitching that could push them deep into the tournament. I'll tell you a team for me that's been completely under the radar because they had a ton of games rained out early on. And I really think that this team is way underrated. I personally have not given them the value that they have. But Hazen is a team that might be healthy and rested enough because they played a light schedule that they have a great pitcher in Lexi Delaney. And with her on the mound, they can beat anybody when they're on. So that's another team that we've hardly even mentioned at all this year. That right here at the end, when it comes time for district tournaments and getting into regionals and stuff, they might sneak up and beat two or three teams they're not supposed to. You know, there's also Parker's Chapel gave Woodlawn everything they wanted the other day. They're capable of playing with anybody. They've got a solid team. Powen is very strong. You know, Powen is kind of running waves. They've been really good for two or three games and then lose to somebody that you might expect them to beat and then be really good for two or three games. So, There's so much depth and so much talent at 2A. I don't even know what direction to go with it. But I feel like that top 4 to 5 is going to be where our state champion comes out of.
Yeah, Very similar conversation to how deep 4A was, the conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, everybody, not everybody, but many teams, man, once you get into late April, early May, they're clicking and they've really gotten things figured out. And that's definitely the case in 2A and as well as 3A, even though there's been a lot of consistency there. Baptist Prep is who they are. But Lincoln, Hackett, Gosnell, Ashdown, I mean, you look at our Super 7. That's why they haven't changed. That's why we basically just went to the next topic last week and went all the way up to 4A, was because there was really no changes. Now, there has been a change this week. Jared Boonville is a team that's really quietly gone 18-1. Their only loss is a 1-0 to Hackett early on in the season. And Hackett's number three. They've been number three in our polls for quite some time now. And so them, and then also still have Atkins there on the outside looking in. We've had them at number seven for a while. They did get beat by Mayflower, I believe it was 12-11. And then also another team too, Valley Springs. I talked to their third base coach quite a bit. We actually featured his daughter, who's also their catcher slash third baseman. And, you know, he sends me scores a lot, and I'm like, man, you know, it hardly ever seems like Valley Springs loses. And they don't very often. And so that's another team there that I've really kind of gotten my eye on, I believe in the same conference there as Lincoln. So, of course, Lincoln gets all the attention, and rightfully so, from what they have done this year. But along with the Smackovers and the, like, really from five down, Ashdown, Smackover, and as Boonville, as I mentioned, Atkins on the outside looking in, Valley Springs is one that we haven't really talked about this year that's also made a lot of noise.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I was looking at 3A, and I struggle with anybody beating Baptist Prep in 3A. I mean, we've talked about that 10 times, 15 times already this year. Baptist Prep is just loaded. They're a whole nother level. They're built different. But when you get past Baptist Prep, there's a lot of good teams in 3A. There's, I mean, and you've mentioned, you know, without a doubt, Lincoln has had a fantastic season, and they've played some strong competition. So, you know, they, if there's anybody that's going to have a shot at Baptist Prep in 3A, Lincoln's probably got the best case of anybody. Boonville, I think that loss coming early kind of pushed them back down. Everybody kind of expected Boonville to be really good early. Then they got a loss, you know, in the very first part of the season, and everybody's like, oh, maybe they're not as good. And we kind of, I think in my mind, we kind of pushed them down to about that 7, 8, 9 spot, you know, because these other teams were playing good early. But Boonville has steadily put together, like you said, they have quietly put together an 18-1 season, if you can quietly go 18-1. But they've won a lot of tight ball games against some good teams. And I will tell you, that's going to serve Boonville well when they get into this tournament, is they've had those tight games. They've battled out and won a ton of those tight games. Their only loss was that tight game with Hackett. And I think Boonville's got a real shot to make a deep run. Ashdown, of course, is always strong. Gosnell's played good. Smackover's good. Valley Springs, I honestly did not have them on my radar at all until the last week or so. And I got to looking, I was looking through all these standings, like, man, they've got a good record. And then I looked back and I looked at their schedule and I was like, hey, they've beat some pretty decent teams too. So yeah. Valley Springs has kind of surprised me and caught me off guard. And then, you know, if you start looking at records in 3A and looking at their schedules, there's a lot of other good teams that we've never really even talked about. You know, Mayflower, we talked very little about them outside of Atkins that we had on the outside looking in. Mayflower, CAC, Pangburn, Newport have all had pretty decent runs. And then Falk, Genoa Central, and Bismarck, those are all strong teams in a strong conference. So any of those teams with the right game at the right time, I don't know that you can count anybody out as far as making a good hard run.
Yeah, CAC and DeWitt. Now this may be a homer pick for me, or a homer mention for me, since I am a CAC alum, but I'm interested to see that game. That's for their conference title this week. And now DeWitt's one of those, I kind of compare them to Fordyce. They don't really have the best record. They're sitting right at around 500, but you look at their schedule and you're kind of like, okay, I see why. Now CAC's had a pretty good year, and you know, they're at the top of their conference. DeWitt, I believe, yeah, right there at second. So playing for the regular season conference title, but those are two teams right there that might play spoiler for a couple, but
Yeah, no doubt about it. DeWitt has not got the greatest record, but they've also played probably one of the toughest schedules in the whole state. So without a doubt, that might be a real tight ball game. On paper, you look at it and you go, oh, CAC's going to win their conference yet. But DeWitt is a better team than their record reflects, for sure.
Yeah, and then going up to 4A, it's a team that's really, really, really made some strides. And they've been on my radar for a little bit just because of – they didn't. So Southside Batesville, and I always add the Batesville in there. I know that many of the Southside teachers and students and alum will scoff at me adding Batesville because they are just Southside. But I want to point out the reason why I do that is because we do cover the whole state, and there are more than one Southside high school. So I just want to point that out there. But Coach Gold and I have talked quite a bit. He's been great sending some information on his players and his team. And I've really been looking at them, Jared, because they had a pretty good start, but they did not have a good showing in the Bearcat Classic there right around spring break. That's about the only weak point of their season. Otherwise, have just been great. I believe they're on like around a 9-10 game win streak right now, but none bigger than what they did against number 2 Morrilton. They won on a walk-off double by London Forey. They were down 6-0 in the first inning of this one. And Morrilton, I'm not going to say they're out of it, but they've definitely taken a couple of steps back in 4A over the last 7-10 days or so. But Southside Batesville just have really played. They're a senior heavy team for the most part, have had a lot of girls that were 3- and 4-year starters. But once I began talking with Coach Gold, and he kind of told me some of the things that, you know, they've been able to accomplish this year and just getting a little bit more in-depth detail, I figured that was one of those teams that could really continue to take off as we get here into late April, and that's exactly what they did. Again, down 6-0 and then ended up walking it off to win 8-7. You know, Trey Wade, who was a key piece of the Razorback men's Elite Eight basketball team, actually threw out the first pitch in that game. So a lot of hype having him there. Really cool deal, I'm sure, for them. But, yeah, the Lady Southerners, man, we've talked so much about the depths of the 4A7 and then, of course, what Southside's conference foe, Valley View, did against Cabot and then the run that they've been on. And so all this talk about, you know, the 4A7, there's some teams on the east part of the state, too, in particular, that really have something to say about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that 4A3 with Southside, Valley View, and Westside, those are all three really solid, really good teams. And, you know, Southside and Westside both kind of put it together late because they had a few losses early. And I was, in my mind, almost counted them out early. I was like, no, those were going to be good teams. Well, no, they're not. Well, all of a sudden they've come on and they've kind of caught fire here, and especially Southside. Southside has put together a pretty impressive run, and Valley View, of course, has been really hot late. So when you realize that Southside is probably, well, I guess they're tied with Valley View for the top of that conference, but at 17-4, 18-3, that's nothing to sneeze at for sure. Those two teams are really solid. I early on didn't think that any of those teams had a real shot at winning 4A because the 4A7 is just so strong. And I thought for sure our state champion this year was going to come out of that 4A7. And I still think there's a strong chance of that. I still think Nashville, Bauxite, you know, Malvern and Mena, all those teams are very strong down there in the 4A7. But that 4A3 is a lot better than I gave them credit for early. They have definitely proven that they deserve to be in the conversation without a doubt.
Yeah, and I'll get to go to see I was hoping to get to a 4A7 conference game much quicker than I have, but all goes to plan. I will be at Bauxite as they play Malvern on Tuesday night. So look forward to seeing that. Both of those fan bases have been absolutely amazing to us, giving us a lot of great feedback, and so hopefully get to see some of y'all in person there. But yeah, I will hopefully get to actually go to this. Every time I've planned to, it's kind of seems like, as you know, Jared, you know, you've had 2 newborns, you know how it is. It's like the most unpredictable things happen, and then you got to stay home and take care of that. So hopefully I will actually get to actually go see that. And I know that Malvern is definitely due for a big win. Bauxite continuing to try to keep up their status. They're right there at the top of the 4A7 right now with Nashville. Of course, they split the game. They beat Nashville 1-0 and then lost 6-0. So Bauxite trying to stay near or at the top of the 4A7. And then we'll get into the 5A real quick. So they're not a whole lot of notes from here right now. Still pretty much Benton and everybody else. I mean, they've just done what they do. I think they're actually in the top 10. They were 15 or 16 teetering there for a little bit, but I believe they're in the top 10 nationally now in some polls. But they've got a big week against Baptist Prep and then also that two-game series with Bentonville on Friday and Saturday. I'm going to definitely try to make one of those on either of those days. We'll see if that happens. But and then also, you know, right behind them, Jared, you know, we've talked about Sheridan a lot. We talked about Greene County Tech and BB, Marion, all those teams that we have in the Super 7. And right now, I mean, I'm pretty much at the same spot that I have been. You know, I mean, just like we've talked about in every episode, we always mention, you know, the classes that for the most part are that have the heavy favorites in them. 5A is no different, but what's really wild to me right now is the Wild Wild West with Van Buren, Greenwood, Alma, Bologna. I mean, it is just absolutely – now, Van Buren is in first place for that right now, but Greenwood and Alma have a really big series, doubleheader series this week that's going to determine a lot. You know, Greenwood, I believe I actually had in the Super 7 coming into the season, but when they did a bunch of moving around and their infield in particular – and then also had to get the basketball girls coming back that were playing basketball until March 12th when they won state. So now that they've figured some things out in March, they've won 9 of 12 games in April. So I really like where the Greenwood Lady Bulldogs are right now, but I also like where Alma's at as well.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Early in the year, I didn't think, you know, at second end of the first week, second week, starting the third week of the season, I really didn't know that Alma and Greenwood would be in this conversation, but they've kind of fought, you know, held on strong and kind of found a way to just keep winning as you got later in the year. Van Buren has done very well in their conference for sure. And honestly, for a week or two there, I thought Bologna might even make some noise there. They took a loss or two just about the time that they were sneaking in, you know, outside looking in or starting to get into the rankings. They took a couple of losses when it hurt them. But that's another really strong conference that's got, you know, four or five teams deep that I like Alma and Greenwood both, and I'm not sure that one of those two won't end up being the team that goes the furthest out of that conference. I just don't see the others playing quite like they need to at the right time. Van Buren has that possibility, but Alma or Greenwood, I think, are going to be one of those two is going to go the furthest out of that conference as far as going on into state.
And before we get into the 6A, finally, I forgot to mention, out of all the teams we talked about in Stuttgart or in 4A, I forgot to mention Stuttgart, who we've had in our top three for the past couple of weeks now and continuing to win. Now, I know that they've also been hit with the bad luck from Mother Nature, but they've also got – a matchup with Baptist Prep this week. So Baptist Prep, man, they've definitely loaded their schedule pretty much all year out of non-conference. It seems like they're playing all of the state's top teams. But talking real quick about pitchers, we mentioned Lily Faye and McKaylee and some of the top ones that we've had across the state. Emma Banks is right there with, in my opinion, was for Stuttgart. It seems like every time she goes out, she gets double-digit strikeouts and is just always very clutch. But she's also got a very solid defense behind her. Stuttgart's not really known for putting up a ton of runs, but with her there in the circle and that defense behind her, a lot of times you really don't have to.
Well, when you have a great pitcher, you can win games. I mean, you may not win every game. You may not win, you know, conferences, but you can win games. And sometimes that means you win games at the right time to get further in the tournament. And with her pitching, anytime she's in the circle, she gives them a chance to win the ballgame. She's going to hold the other team down. Nobody's going to score a ton of runs on her. So if she can do her job and do that, as long as she stays healthy, she gives Stuttgart a real chance to fight for a state championship. There's no doubt about it. Now, you go past her and you go down the line to the rest of that team. If they can't stay healthy, they don't have – the depth that some of these other teams have, but Emma Banks is unreal. She is, I have not got to see her in person. I've seen probably six or eight different short video clips of her so far. Talked about her quite a bit with some coaches and different ones around. Everyone that talks about her is just nothing but good things to say about her. She's a great talent, great kid. So I would never say that as long as she's healthy, that Stuttgart doesn't have a real chance at winning that state championship.
And then finally going up to 6A, Bentonville continuing to do what they do, as they pretty much do every single week. And then right after that, Jared, we've got some shifts in the rankings. You know, Cabot, I'm not going to say, kind of like what I was mentioning about Morrilton, not out of it whatsoever, but has certainly taken a few steps back. And Rogers has really solidified to me as that number two team in 6A. And then Cabot right behind them, followed by Bryant. And then I'll tell you who I really like at number five right now, from the, what they've done over the past couple of weeks, and that's Conway. Conway, they were the state runner-up to Bentonville last year. Caitlin Erickson is another solid arm in the state that was a big reason why the Lady Wampus Cats won. I believe it was either 7 or 8 of 9 to get to the state championship finals last year. She's pitching lights out. So Conway's got a victory over North Little Rock and Cabot as of late. And so they really, that's a team we talk about heating up at the right time. That's really what they've done, because Conway had a really bad showing in the Bearcat Classic, or in the Bearcat Blast that I mentioned Southside played in earlier in March. And really it's just kind of been wishy-washy this year, Jekyll and Hyde, whichever term that you want to use, but inconsistent definitely. But right now they are playing very consistently, and I love where Conway is at right now.
Well, if you wanted to talk about who's the hottest team right now, it's definitely Conway. They're just playing good ball. The last, I would say, out of their last five games, they've just probably played the best five-game stretch of their season. They're giving themselves a real chance to make a run right here. For sure, Caitlin Erickson is, without a doubt, a special talent. And if she's going like she can go, you know, anything's possible. I personally really think that outside of Bentonville, I think the 6A title runs through Bentonville. It's theirs to lose, in my opinion. But I like Bryant and Rogers as the two strong possibilities to make a run at Bentonville. I liked Cabot early on. They've taken a couple of losses right here. That may be the thing that kind of resets their momentum and they get things going again. Cabot definitely has the talent, but they just haven't played as good the last week and a half. But Bryant and Rogers have both been quiet and steady through this whole season, and they've beat a couple really big teams along the way, and their only losses are to quality teams. If you really look at their records with Bryant and Rogers, they've only lost to quality teams, you know. So I don't think there's anybody outside of Bentonville, you know, Bentonville, Bryant, Rogers, Cabot, maybe Conway if they really get on a tear. There's really not anybody else outside that in 6A that I think have a chance of winning it. I think Bryant, in my opinion, and of course my opinion is not worth a whole lot to some people, but Bryant and Rogers for me are the two that are going to have the best shot at taking that knockout punch on Bentonville at the right time.
Yeah, and well, I was actually going to point out what you just did. These two losses of recent could be exactly what Cabot needs, because before that Valley View loss, they were the final remaining undefeated team in conference or in Class 6A. And so I was talking about it with Kevin on the previous segment. We were mentioning about how in 1A, Norfolk was on like a 14-15 game win streak and just got beat by Greers Ferry Westside. Well, it's probably best that kind of stuff goes ahead and gets out of the way, because it's very tough to carry an undefeated record or a winning streak or anything like that into the postseason, because then you've got the pressures of that along with knowing that in order to keep that streak going, you've got to keep winning. And so that could be exactly like you mentioned what Cabot needs. And so going to be a lot of fun here down the stretch. You know, as I mentioned, district tournaments, they do start this week for the smaller classes. And then we got a couple of weeks left for the larger classes that will continue to get their spots in the state tournaments here that are going to begin in the next couple of weeks. And so it's crazy that we're already here, Jared. Man, it just flies by so quick. My wife and I were just talking about how it seemed just like yesterday the girls were starting school in August. I know you, as a parent as well, can relate to that. It just all flies by. And here we are in the final few weeks of both the school year and the athletic season.
Oh, without a doubt, I can't believe that it's right here at the tail end. I mean, you know, course, I help coach with my daughter's team, and it seems like we should still have 2 or 3 weeks left in the season, and we play tomorrow night, and it's a win or go home scenario. So we could be ending our season come tomorrow night. You know, of course, there's a chance of rain that might push us back a day, but I'm not quite ready for high school ball to be over. I'd love to see us get it together and make a little run right here with her team. I'll tell you, there's so many teams that have so much of a chance right now right here to make a run into the districts for the smaller ones that have districts, regionals, and state. You know, the classifications that have districts, regionals, and state, it's a little bit of a tough hill to get up, because you have to get through 2 full tournaments to even get into state. And, you know, some of the bigger classifications, you either just have regionals and then state, or you just have state. So if you had a good season, you've built your case. Well, and, you know, some of the smaller classifications, you've got to – it doesn't matter how good you were, you've got to win 2 tournaments to get to state.
Yeah.
And that's tough for some schools. Even when you've been really good, it's tough to win 2 consecutive tournaments and then get into state. So,
yeah.
I'll tell you, I was – before we get off the air real quick, I was looking through a couple of these teams, and there's – I've been kind of looking at dark horse teams and things that I was like, man, is there somebody we're missing that's maybe they haven't had the greatest record and they've played good ball and they've only lost to good teams? I'll tell you a team that, not to get back into a huge discussion, but something that I did want to mention, and I missed it a while ago. In 5A, Whitehall,
yes,
is a much better team, yes, than where they're sitting at right now. That team is very talented. They're very stout. They've given, in some of the losses, they've given some really good competition, really tight ball games. They've beat 2 or 3 really good teams. And I'll tell you, a huge part of that is because of Lily Hood. That is a kid that is a major Division I, Power 5 Division I talent. I have heard about this kid for 2 years now, how good she is. And I got a chance to talk to her coach this week, and he raved about her. He raved about not only the great kid that she is, but the talent that she has. And I want to tell you, she had a very real shot at playing, or still does have a very real shot at playing Power 5 Division I, but she chose to go to a smaller school for college because of the relationships that she built with coaches. And that says a lot to me about a kid too, yeah, is that you have a chance to go play major ball and you choose to go somewhere because you built a relationship with a coach, and that's who you believe is going to have your best interest at heart. So that's one of my dark horses that we had talked about, trying to find a few dark horses here and there. You know, in 5A, Benton's without a doubt, you know, head and shoulders, in my opinion, above everyone else. But if you start looking at that next level down, don't sleep on Whitehall, because they're going to sneak up and beat some people.
Yeah, Lily Hood's going to love it down at UTSA, man. I lived about seven, yes, I lived about 7 minutes from there, and really good school. It's the fan base is extremely passionate. They buy into everything, especially with what Jeff Traylor has done down there with the football program. As they always say, it starts with football, and that's true. It starts with football, and if that works well, then it's gonna trickle down. And it's just really the whole athletic department has bought into that school. And San Antonio's a great place. I really enjoyed my 3 years there. I can if anybody goes down there, I can always tell you where to get the best tacos and all that good stuff. But yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point about Whitehall, though. But yeah, well, guys, we're here in the postseason, at least for the most part. We'll be fully into it here. I think it's by like May 8th, May 9th, and then when the state tournaments all begin from 1A to 6A. So getting down to the nitty-gritty, it's going to be a lot of fun. And you can always catch our coverage here on, again, on scorebooklive.com and under the Arkansas tab. And then, which that you can find Kevin's stuff, you can find our stuff for softball. Of course, this week we're going to be doing the softball rankings. We should be finishing up both the softball and the baseball rankings this week into next week, and get those all wrapped up. So you can listen on the website or on Spotify. And then also, too, if you like what we're doing, again, please make sure you're subscribed to the pod. That way that you always know whenever we release an episode. And that's what we got for you. So for Kevin Bohannon and Jared Hawthorne, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will see you next time.